الرحمن الرحیم نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 20th of February in the year 2018 and alhamdulillah we're beginning the 11th and final week the 71st night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the eminent companion Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu and I've reached the point where we're now on his deathbed and Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu is grieving that he has not been blessed with martyrdom. And then like I mentioned, one of his friends mentioned that this was impossible because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called you the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you had fallen in battle, an unbeliever would have broke the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's predetermined by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then I mentioned the other report in which he actually showed the wounds and all his blessed body from his head to his feet were covered with wounds. And he says, I'm now dying on my bed just like a camel dies. And then he said, may the eyes of cowards never sleep. So upon this, this most mountain of a man, radiyallahu anhu, left the troubles of this mortal world to be once again reunited with his beloved ones and eternal glory. Thus passed away Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhu, the excellent servant and the majestic sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, unleashed against the unbelievers, hypocrites and polytheists, the son of Sayyidina Lubaba the Younger radiyallahu anhu, the brother of Sayyidina Walid radiyallahu anhu, the nephew of our beloved mother, Sayyidina Maymuna, radiyallahu anh, the first cousin of Sayyidina Umar, radiyallahu anh, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma, Umama bint Hamza, radiyallahu anhuma, amongst others, the scribe of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teacher of Yemen, the destroyer of the accursed idols, Lat and Uzza, the one who broke 9 swords at Mu'tah, the destroyer of the apostasy, the liberator of Iraq and Asham, Islam's knight, the lion in battle, the commander of the Mujahideen, the one who was near the dominated both during Jahiliyyah and Islam, the generous, the one whom poison had no effect upon, and whose supplication turned wine to vinegar or honey. And last but not least, one of the endless, majestic, and most noble companions of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our example par excellence. May Allah the Almighty be well pleased with him, and most assuredly, he certainly is. Ameen. Such indeed was Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu anhu, whom our exalted and unparalleled Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala certainly loved, secondly, boasted of, and thirdly, upon whom was his priceless special gaze. So how can I say that with confidence, that these 3 special gifts were given to him, that Allah the Almighty and Glorious loved him, secondly, he boasted of him, and thirdly, upon whom was his special gaze, because this is Sahih Hadith. In Tabarani, in his Kabir, number 11,904, or 9-302, Al-Haythami in Majma Az-Zawaid number 3536 states Sahih. Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he loves 3 people upon whom he directs his special gaze of mercy. One of the 3 is a man who is prepared to sacrifice his life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether he actually loses his life or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him victory. In regard to such a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at this servant of mine, how he has dedicated his life to my cause. Subhanallah. So when you go through that report, straight away your mind instantly thinks of Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu anhu. So in this Sahih Hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala directs his special gaze, means special mercy, and he boasts. So imagine when Khalid was on all those various battlefields, our loving exalted Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was saying, look at this servant of mine, how he has dedicated his life to my cause. So now a question, did the sword of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala pass away in Al-Madinah? Or did he pass away in Hims, i.e. western Syria, 100 miles north of Damascus? So there's two views. One is, he passed away in the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other is, in Hims. Firstly, there are many narrations which clearly indicate that this majestic man radiallahu anhu passed away in the city of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To mention them. In Ibn al-Mubarak, in his Kitab al-Jihad, Al-Isaba, volume 1, page 415, Hafiz Zahabi, in his Sir, 1-381, Al-Bidayah, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 2, page 127 of the New English Translation, Tabarani, Al-Haythami, in Majma al-Zawaid, volume 9, page 350, relates it in brief. Abu Wa'il, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, after Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu, passed away, Umar, radiyallahu anhu, came for the funeral prayer, and he said, there is no harm if the family of Walid shed their tears, just as long as they do not tear their clothes and wail aloud. So this is the first report. So what does this prove? This clearly indicates that this majestic man passed away in Al-Madinah, for the Amir al-Mu'mineen was present. So this is one proof. So he was there, and he was basically comforting the family. He goes, no harm in weeping, as long as you don't wail. Indicating it was the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, even more explicitly, in Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH, Ishaq ibn Bishr and Muhammad rahimahumullah, they both related, Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu passed away in Al-Madinah. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu came to his funeral and found Khalid's mother mourning over him, saying, you were better than 100,000 when the great surrendered. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu responded, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you speak the truth. Indeed, he was just like this. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So again, note explicitly, he passed away in Al-Madinah. Umar comes to pay his respects and he sees his Mari, we call her Mari, his maternal uncle's wife, who was the mother of Khalid. And she said, now think about this, normally this would be exaggeration. You were better than 100,000 when the great surrendered. So you'd say, well, that's obviously mother's getting a bit excited, exaggeration of love. Umar confirmed it. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have spoken the truth. He was just like this. And similarly, proving again, he passed away in Al-Madinah. In Ibn Asakir, in his Tariq Dimishq 16-270, Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH, Saif ibn Umar relates from his elders, from Salim rahmatullah alayh, whilst Khalid radiyallahu was in Al-Madinah for some length of time, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu presumed that there is no longer was fear of fitna on his account. Hence, he now resolved to send him as a governor to some place on his return from the Hajj. So stop in the report. So it mentions why Umar detained him. Umar kept him in Al-Madinah radiallahu anhu because he feared fitna. Our people were saying we can't lose because of Khalid. But once that had calmed down, the report says he's doing the Hajj and he was clearly thinking of making him a governor on his return. The report continues. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Khalid left Medina radiyallahu anhu to visit his mother radiyallahu anhu, where he fell ill. He thereupon requested her, oh dear mother, take me quickly to my place of refuge. She thus rushed him back to Al-Madinah, where his condition further deteriorated. Meanwhile, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, on his return journey from the Hajj, was 3 days away from Al-Madinah when he met a fast rider. He asked, what is wrong? He replied, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Khalid bin Walid is in a very serious condition, radiyallahu anhu. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, alarmed, thus increased his own pace and covered the distance of 3 days into just 1 day. So stopping the report. So Khalid goes to see his mother. But as he goes, he falls very ill. So he's worried because the Amir al-Mu'mineen told him to stay in Al-Madinah. Because take me back to my place of refuge, mother. So his mother did this. But then the people rushed to tell the Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he covered 3 days in 1 day to get back in time. However, he reached him when he had just passed away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was deeply grieved. And he uttered, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He thereupon sat in grief by the door till he was shrouded. The women were crying over him inside. Sayyidina Umar was thereupon asked by the onlookers, Do you not hear the mourning? Will you not forbid them, Amir al-Mu'mineen? He responded, What is wrong if the women of the Quraysh weep over Abu Sulaiman? Just as long as they do not throw dust over their heads, oh well, because there is no harm in this. When the body was brought out, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu thereupon saw a woman weep and recite elegy. He asked, Who is she? He was informed, His mother, I, your maternal uncle's wife. To which Umar radiallahu anhu responded and he said in verse himself, By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mother, have women stopped giving birth to the likes of Khalid radiallahu anhu. He also used to compose poetry on his cutting through the 3 day journey into 1 day, but he grieved that he was just too late. Subhanallah. So Umar radiallahu anhu wasn't expecting this. It was sudden. He tried to get back in time, it was too late. And when he saw his mother, he himself broke into verse. Because his mother, have women stopped giving birth to the likes of Khalid? And then he actually recited poetry about his 3 day journey into 1 day, trying to get back to Khalid radiallahu anhu. And similarly, the Amir al-Mu'mineen also requested others to recite poetry in praise of his dear departed cousin. When they finished, he responded, You did not do justice to Abu Sulaiman. He used to love to humiliate idolatry and its adherents. He, I, those wretches who rejoiced on his difficulties, then undoubtedly they earned the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is in Al-Bidayah in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH. So look how interesting. He encouraged others to praise him. So people started praising him, imagine. And after they'd done all their praise, he goes, not good enough. Because you haven't praised him enough. And then he says, he used to love to humiliate idolatry and all those who adhered to it. And he goes, whoever rejoices over his difficulties, they earn the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another report, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Let the women of Banu Makhzum say what they like about Abu Sulaiman, for they do not lie. Over the likes of Abu Sulaiman weep those who weep. Recorded by Hafiz al-Isfahani in his Al-Aghani, volume 19, page 89. Hafiz al-Isfahani passed away, 967 AH. So here Sayyidina Umar actually gave a blanket encouragement. He goes, Let them weep, let them praise. Because over a man like Khalid, people should weep. So all these reports indicate what? That Sayyidina Khalid passed away to glory in no other than the city of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about which Hafiz ibn Kathir said, rahmatullah alayh, in his Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH, Duhaym Abdul Rahman ibn Ibrahim Dimishki, subscribe to this view. However, the more common view to which the majority subscribe is that he passed away in Hims in 21 AH. These were Waqidi ibn Sa'ad, and he mentioned others, rahimahumullah. So Hafiz ibn Kathir says something very interesting here. He says, this is the view. He passed away in Al-Madinah, he quotes ulama. But he says the more common view, which many of the scholars have subscribed to, is that he passed away in Hims. So, why do they say that? It thus appears, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, that his stay in Al-Madinah for some time after he was dismissed caused some confusion about the matter. For it appears that he passed away shortly thereafter his departure. So this is one way you can partially explain it. He was detained in Al-Madinah by Sayyidina Umar. And maybe that detainment caused some confusion. For instance, in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who died in the year 21 AH, Abdul Rahman Ibn Abu Zinad and others, rahimahumullah, they all related. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu came to Al-Madinah after Umar had dismissed him. He thereupon performed Umrah and returned to Ash-Sham and continued to stay there until he passed away in 21 AH. So this narration mentions that he did Umrah, stayed, then he went back to Sham. Similarly, Hafiz Zahabi in his Sir 1-367, he relates, he lived 60 years and he killed many brave warriors. He passed away in Hims in the year 21 AH. So Hafiz Zahabi also confirms this, rahmatullah alayh. And similarly, Hafiz Waqidi, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, in Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu saw some pilgrims offering the salat in the Masjid of Quba. He thereupon asked, where do you belong to from Ash-Sham? Because I realize you're from Sham, but where from Sham? They said, Hims, O Amir al-Mu'mineen. He asked, and what news do you have from Hims? They responded, Khalid ibn al-Walid has passed away, radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Umar thereupon said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And thereupon praised Khalid and said, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was a deterrent to the enemy and a truly auspicious man. Sayyidina Ali thereupon asked, Amir al-Mu'mineen, then why did you dismiss him? He responded, for he gave away wealth to the well-to-do and the soft tongue. He thereupon added, I regret his dismissal. So this adds details. So he's doing Hajj, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, and people of Sham, and he's in Quba obviously. So he's coming, he may be leaving to, or coming back from the Hajj. And the people of Hims, they said, Khalid bin Walid has passed away, i.e. in Hims. And Umar was obviously hurt. And then Ali radiallahu anhu said, well, why did you dismiss him? If you say he's an auspicious man. He goes, he gave wealth to the well-to-do. But then he goes, I regret that. Sayyidina Umar thereupon testified that he had erred in this fateful decision. And he said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. What is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him is better than what he lived through. He died as one lost, but lived as one praised. However, I found the contemporaries having opinions. This is in Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH. So if you look at these statements of Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu, first he said, what is with our Lord is better than what he lived through. Meaning, he may have passed away from his family, but he's now getting far greater. Then he said, he died as one lost, but lived as one praised. Look at the eloquence of Sayyidina Umar. He died as one lost, but lived as one praised. However, people had opinions, meaning I listened to them. Maybe Khalid, you know, maybe he's this, maybe he's that. Similarly, Qais ibn Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi said, when Khalid passed away radiyallahu, Umar remarked, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon him. Indeed, we used to entertain some ideas about him which were unfounded. This is in Ibn Sa'd in Istabaqat 2-121, Al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH. So Umar himself testified, I thought that he had certain failings, but I realized I was mistaken. I heard people talking about him. I took what they said, but I was mistaken. Subhanallah. So we established that he was thinking of making him the governor. Subhanallah, let alone appointing him as governor. The Amir al-Mu'mineen had another task in store for this most able man. Hafiz Zahabi rahmatullahi in his Sir 1-372, Ma'riful Ahadith, volume 4, page 611 of the New English Translation. He had such a high estimation of him that on his own deathbed, so 4 years later, Umar's been stabbed, he's passing away, radiyallahu anhu. On his own deathbed, he said to one and all, if Khalid were alive, radiyallahu, I would now have made him the Khalif. I would then have said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I have heard with my own ears his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Khalid, radiyallahu, is indeed a sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's swords that he has unsheathed against the idolaters. Subhanallah. So think about that. So Umar detained him in Al-Madinah. He thought, make him a governor, give him a bit of experience first. Then he was thinking, if he lives, he's going to succeed me. Alas, but this was not to be. So now, obvious question. He wasn't the greatest companion. So people always confuse authority with rank. Rank and authority are two different things. Sometimes a person of a lesser rank is more suited for the post of authority. For instance, Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu dismissed Shurahbil Badri. Who did he put in his place? Muawiyah. And Shurahbil said, is it because of some failing on my part? And Hazrat Umar goes, no, but Muawiyah is more suited for the task. Meaning, somebody who's got leadership qualities, he should be the leader. Nothing to do with rank. So here, the same principle. Khalid, of course, wasn't equal to Ali, Uthman, and all the great companions, radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But in terms of leadership, Umar had no doubts about it, radiallahu anhum. If you could lead armies and crush the Romans and Persian superpowers, he's more than worthy to lead the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But imagine, on his own deathbed, he goes, if he was here, he goes, I would have made him the Khalif. Imagine, on the battlefield he crushed them. What would he have done as the Amir al-Mu'mineen? So this shows that he had great love for him. You know, people always think, oh, he had a problem. He had no problem with him. The fact that he was going to make him a governor, or possibly the Khalif, was left to be said. Thus, with regards to where the mighty sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is buried, there are two views. Jannat al-Baqi in Al-Madinah, which have the stronger reports. And Hims in Syria, whose reports are not as strong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So now a person queries this. He goes, well, what's going on? Right? You know, surely. And the response is, when Allah the Almighty and Glorious wants to protect His servants, He even hides their graves. Sayyidina Ali, where's he buried? So the Shias go blue in the face because he's buried in Iraq, in Kufa. He's not buried there. He was brought back to Al-Madinah. The grave that is they think is Ali is Mughira ibn Shu'bah's grave. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala doesn't want their graves to be soiled. And they don't even, there's a couple of views with regards to Ali radiallahu. Khalid bin Walid falls into the same category. He was so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't want anybody to do strange things at his grave. So we don't really know where he's buried. And only recently, in the troubles in Syria, if you look, the grave that they say is Khalid's in Hims was bombed. And it was like, you know, the roof fell and it was basically, you know, the grave was, you know, desecrated. Does your heart accept that? Right? So straight away you think, why would Allah Ta'ala allow that to happen to Khalid's grave? Radiallahu. So some people say, no, they couldn't get him when he was alive. Now they're getting him when he's passed away. Yeah, but that's not answer the question. So the response to that is, we don't know where he's buried. And what's interesting in Hims, where his grave is supposed to be, his son is buried next to him as well. But having said that, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Right? So note, you have to honor the views. But you can politely add, the strongest evidence indicates it was in the city of the Prophet. In conclusion, who then, if not Khalid, is deserving of the following honor? In Sahih Muslim, number 1909, Abu Dawood, number 1520, Tirmidhi, number 2653 and 3162, Ibn Majah, number 2797. Sayyidina Sahal ibn Hunayf al-Badri, radiyallahu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Man sa'alallaha shahadata bisidq, بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَى وَإِنْ مَاتَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ. If someone implores Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for martyrdom with a true heart, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will certainly thereupon graciously cause him to reach the degrees of the martyrs, even if he dies on his bedding. Subhanallah. So look at this amazing report in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet said, if you earnestly desire it, only Allah knows that. If I didn't ask you all, yeah, I would decide it. Allah Ta'ala, there was no point in trying to fool me. If you earnestly yearn for martyrdom from it with a true heart, you will be resurrected with the martyrs. Imagine. So when you hear that report, who do you think of immediately? Khalid bin Walid, radiyallahu anhu. Similarly, in Sahih Muslim, Sayyidina Anas, he relates, radiyallahu anhu, that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he who asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for martyrdom, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him it to him, even if he does not die as a martyr. Subhanallah. Meaning, you will be given the reward of a martyr. And in another word, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam added, he will be granted the reward of a martyr. This is in Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, Hasan, Sahih. And in another most informative report, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu relates that our beloved messengers reported to have said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna akthara shuhada'i ummati ashabul furush. Verily, most of the martyrs of my nation will be people who died on their beds. Subhanallah. Verily, most of the martyrs of my nation, of my ummah, will be those who died on their beds. This is in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 3772. It is da'if, due to Ibn Lahi'a, rahmatullah alayh, in his chin. So note, this is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People die in their beds. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, most of the martyrs of my ummah die in their beds. Why? Because they usually die from some illness. You know, if a person dies in the hospital bed, they even say that. If somebody dies in hospital, you don't need to know whether he's martyred. All you got to ask is, do you have iman? Yes. And he goes, no, but he didn't have... You ask people, where did he die? In hospital. So he must be in bed. Unless he was walking to the toilet and died in the toilet. Right? He goes, usually 99% of the time, then guaranteed martyrdom. You should love hospitals. That's the exit to Jannah. Right? And look how interesting. The unbelievers hate hospitals. Why? Because it reminds them of death. Right? But for us, we're thinking fantastic. So think about the people who passed away in beds, those near and dear ones. Imagine it. Are they martyred? Well, what do you think, brother? All praise and thanks be to our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala for indeed such priceless blessings. So just to conclude, concluding remarks. If one goes to the blessed grave, therein, one pictures a large, broad-shouldered, powerfully built man. He is mounted on a magnificent Arab stallion and rides it as if he were part of the horse. The loose end of his turban and cloak flutters behind him, and his large, full beard is pressed against his chest by the wind. His eyes fiercely shine with excitement, with the promise of battle and glory, the glory of victory or martyrdom. His coat of mail and the iron tip of his long lance glint in the clear sunlight, and the earth trembles under the thundering hooves of his fiery charger. Perhaps behind him rides a slim young warrior naked above the waist. The visitor sees all this with his mind's eye, and then with the ears of his mind he hears, just before the mobile guard hurls itself at the Romans in a shattering crash of steel and sinew, the roar of Allahu Akbar as it issues from the throats of the believers and rents the air. And rising out of this roar, he hears the piercing cry of the venerable leader, I am the noble warrior. I am the sword of Allah, Khalid ibn al-Walid, radiyallahu anhu. Thus inevitably proving the words of our beloved messenger all those many years ago, when he so simply and beautifully said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ni'ma abdullahi Khalid ibn Walid, sayfum min suyufillah. What an excellent servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khalid ibn Walid, one of the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unleashed against the unbelievers. Subhanallah. This is in Tirmidhi, number 3846, Hasan Gharib. Ahmad in his Musnad, number 8728, Mishkat, number 6262, or volume 2, number 173, in the chapter on the companions in general. Shaykh Albani, rahmatullah alayhi, states Sahih in Sahih al-Jan, number 6776. And in a similar authentic report, in Ahmad in his Musnad, number 43, or 1-8, Sahih li-Ghayri, al-Bidayah, in the chapter on those who passed away in the year 21 AH, Abu Bakr Siddiq, who relates very few hadiths, radiyallahu anhu. He relates that the Messenger of Allah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, نعم عبد الله وأخو الأشيرة خالد بن الوليد وسيفا من سيوف الله صلّه الله عز وجل على الكفار والمنافقين. What an excellent servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and member of the tribe Khalid ibn al-Walid is, radiyallahu. Indeed, he is one of the swords of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May he be glorified and exalted, which he has unsheathed against the unbelievers and hypocrites, i.e. the apostates during Abu Bakr's glorious rule, radiyallahu. So note, these were the answers. Every time I go through the life of a blessed companion, I give you the answer first. I said, this is the hadith. And his biography is the answer. We'll give you the answer, unlock these hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are signs of Nabuwwah. Why? Because the Prophet was speaking before it all happened. Very easy to do it after. You know, after the encounter, right? Described, subhanAllah. But he said it before it happened. What if he died a normal death? Before even going onto the battlefield? So these are signs of Nabuwwah. And the Prophet was saying, he's an excellent man. And indeed, he was truly an excellent man. And we pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he, through our love for him, raises up us with him on the glorious day of resurrection and forgive us all for his sake. Amen. Amen. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa bihamdika subhanallahi subhanar rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.